Hello, everybody. This is Drew Allen. Long time no talk, my friends. This is your Millennial Minister of Truth. I've been observing this week. I wanted to get behind the microphone earlier in the week. I just couldn't make it happen between, well, just with being a publicist. It's just been a crazy week. And actually, it's for the best because I think I'm bringing some heat today behind this microphone. You know, I had my own kind of, I had my own mini Dave Chappelle moment in my own life this week. I'll explain a little bit more about that in a bit here. But you remember what happened with Dave Chappelle? I'm just doing this by memory. I think it was 2005 or something like that. Right? He had done 2 years, two seasons of the Dave Chappelle show. Very successful, very famous, was becoming very wealthy. And Comedy Central, that's who ran the show, they offered him $50 million to do a third season. And he walked away. He went to South Africa for some time. But basically, I mean, he disappeared for 10 years, 12 years. I don't remember the exact time frame, but it was like a decade. He just kind of walked away. And of course, since then, he's made a tremendous comeback. He's made a lot of money as well. And he's reflected and talked about quite a bit, actually, earnestly about what happened and why he disappeared and so on and so forth. So I had my own kind of miniature version of that because I'm not as famous, as wealthy, as successful, and it's not exactly the same. I didn't walk away from this microphone forever. I didn't walk away from my job as a publicist. I didn't disappear to Italy, for example, where sometimes I would love to be just because I'm comfortable there. I speak fluent Italian. I've lived there for roughly 5 years of my life, maybe a little more. But the reasons that I wished I could have to some extent, because I'm so frustrated. I'm so disappointed in many ways with just the media ecosystem right now on our side too. Sorry, I need to silence my phone if you heard that. This is what I'm talking about with PR. I'm so busy. You know, I've got this show, which I love doing. One day, hopefully, I can actually only do this. I would love that, to be honest. This show is not an afterthought. You know, if I don't have time to put it together, I just don't do it. I won't do it. Because you deserve better. We all, you know, you deserve better. That's really what it comes down to. And I do the Patriot TV show, which is on Saturday. And, you know, I sit down to try and do these shows. And look, I'm not a victim here. I'm just trying, you know, look, for me, this is not just, you know, we're a family. So I share things like this occasionally. And let's be honest, they're interesting. I'm an interesting person. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm all buttoned up, Drew Allen, 37 years old. I'm just so serious. I'm just going to talk about politics. I'm not going to talk about anything. No, I'm a human being like all of you. And I love the country. And that's what keeps us together here. We're all in this together. But I lost my train of thought, to be honest. Okay. I'm talking about the distractions, the phone going off. You know, it makes it hard because I've never been busier. And I am going to name drop just because I think it's relevant, because you get a sense of kind of the insane world I'm working in behind the scenes, you know. But, you know, Tulsi Gabbard's a client. You know, in the past, we've had Dr. Ben Carson. We've done Carrie Lake. Dr. Naomi Wolf's a client. You know, I've got all these clients. Some are running for Congress right now. Senators. You know, I did Marjorie Taylor Greene's book not too long ago. So I'm just saying that I work with these big people because, you know, there's not a lot of forgiveness. There's not a lot of room for error when you work with people at that kind of level. So I have to be excellent. And so, you know, combine some of these, you know, A-list clients who are wonderful people. I'm not complaining about the clients. I'm just saying they keep you busy because people want to interview them. And of course, part of my job is booking them for radio and TV and so on and so forth. It's part of the job. One day I'll try and explain it to you, but it's complicated. But anyway, so every time I sit down and try and prepare something or write something for my Substack or whatever, you know, I get pulled away. So it's just crazy because I can't even find really right now 30 minutes to sit down and just concentrate on one thing because I'm being pulled in 50 different directions. And I mean, it's wonderful because, you know, if you want to excel, if you want to get to a certain place or station in life, station, I just mean not superficially, but, you know, you want to be a truly successful person in terms of juggling a lot of things, dealing with pressure. You know, that's part of it, right? I mean, look at Donald Trump. That's a special person because his life experience, whatever it is, has groomed him to be able to deal with these attacks by the left. Most people can't deal with that. So my point is these kind of, you know, professional trials, if you will, and challenges, they're making me a stronger person that's more equipped to deal with the challenges that lay ahead. But anyway, enough of that. What I wanted to say to you, and I'll just say it this way and I'll get into it. You know, we lost a lot more than Rush Limbaugh when Rush passed away. When we lost Rush Limbaugh, we lost sanity in many ways. And I don't want you to misinterpret this episode. I'm not trying to lecture you. I'm not trying to beat anybody up. But I got to share my frustrations with you because they are relevant. And I am telling the truth here. I am right. And if you're offended, it's not personal. I can relate to you. I've been in the situation you're in too. I mean, I'm talking not just to you. I'm talking to myself as well. But, you know, we all need to be very careful right now about who we're listening to. And that includes people on our side. And I'm going to use this latest bridge collapse in Baltimore to make my case to you. But first, let me explain a little bit more about Rush Limbaugh for background here. You know, Rush Limbaugh was not just a tremendous human being because he was the GOAT of broadcasting. That's actually not what makes him so special. What makes Rush Limbaugh so special, what made him so special, was his integrity. His ability to exercise self-restraint. And what I mean by that is he wasn't just mouthing out. Look, I mean, you've got the Alex Joneses out there. You've got the Michael Savages even out there. You're familiar with these people, some of you, many of you perhaps. And they are individuals who are looking to make headlines. They will say the most insane thing possible in order to get people to watch them and listen to them. I understand many of you are Alex Jones fans. I'm not attacking Alex Jones. Alex Jones has been right about a lot. And the thing with somebody like Alex Jones is you can say insane things that actually aren't true as long as you're right enough. As long as you're right enough. And Alex Jones has been right enough that, you know, he can get away with it and continue to do it. And again, this isn't about tearing down Alex Jones. It's about talking about how great Rush Limbaugh was. Alex Jones is not Rush Limbaugh. I'm not Rush Limbaugh. In fact, nobody is Rush Limbaugh, and that's the problem right now, and that's the reason I'm on this topic today. So Rush Limbaugh, for one, he was so big, so massive, so popular, that he actually didn't have competition. Yeah, you had Sean Hannity and Mark Levin, people out there that had big audiences, but they were so far below Rush that they were in their own categories. Nobody was competing with Rush. Rush was on a different planet, if you will, in terms of his success and his audience. And so in some ways, Rush Limbaugh didn't even have a need to be the first out of the gate to say sensational things to get people to listen to his hot takes, if you will. He didn't have to do that because people already listened to him and they weren't going anywhere else. And everyone in the world who was a broadcaster, when Rush was around, they still listened to what he had to say. He was in many ways the barometer. He called himself the truth detector, and he was. And so in many ways, when Rush was king, the odd upshot of that and his place as the king of broadcasting, the king of conservatism, the king of thought, if you will, is that he actually controlled other conservatives. He actually reined them in. He prevented them in many ways from saying insane things because people, most of them, look to Rush for guidance. And so it wasn't the Wild West. You had this strange situation. It's almost like, imagine, and unfortunately it's not that hard to imagine at this point, the way things are going, but imagine that the United States of America is no longer the leader of the free world. Imagine that we basically disappear in terms of being a power and an influence in the world. Imagine that we're no longer the world's predominant superpower. What would happen? You would have the Wild West, right? You would have all these countries that are more or less stable and controlled because of our existence. They would be going crazy. You would have chaos as all these other countries compete to replace the United States of America. And so when Rush passed away, there was a void. And you have all these people that are now competing for his audience, competing to be the next Rush Limbaugh, competing to be the next big thing. And they don't have the self-restraint that Rush Limbaugh had. They will do and say anything in order to get people to listen to them and watch their shows, in order to grow their audience. So that's what's happening right now. I mean, Alex Jones, that's become mainstream. That was not mainstream before. And by the way, I'm not saying, like, look, I believe the 2020 election was absolutely stolen. I believe January 6th was a circumstance, a situation created intentionally by the deep state and the left in particular, in order to prevent fraud from being discussed, in order to force the rubber stamping of Joe Biden's election certification. So I'm not sitting here as someone who's saying all these people are lunatics. I don't agree with them. Anybody who says anything that the left disagrees with is a conspiracy theorist. That's not where I'm coming from. But we have to have checks and balances on ourselves. Otherwise, we just go off the deep end on everything. And sometimes some tragedy, something that's happened, isn't some wild conspiracy theory. It's literally the most obvious option. So, you know, look, I wrote some of this stuff down about Rush. I'm just going to read through it. I mean, I wrote it on this little piece of paper. I just want to read through it in case I missed something because it was really important. But a couple things I've written here, you know, I understand that all of you, myself included, I understand that we're all looking for understanding. We're all looking for information. We're looking to make sense of this world and what's happening. And obviously people can help, but I'm just telling you, do not worship any podcast host. Do not allow yourself to be misled because somebody's famous. Just because someone famous is saying it doesn't make it true. Do not be like the left and let other people's insane ideas supplant your own ability to think critically and rationally, okay? Don't do it. We cannot become this thing. And so anyway, Rush wasn't just great because of his ability to connect and communicate and make the complex simple. He was great because of his capacity to exercise self-restraint. That's what I said, right? He was not a shock jock. He didn't just say things that were untrue. He didn't sacrifice the truth in order to get new listeners. And that's what's happening today. So with this Baltimore bridge collapse that happened on Tuesday morning early, there are literally three options. There are only three options for what took place. Number one, it was a horrific accident and it was unintentional, right? That's the first option. The second option is it was a deliberate terror attack, effort to hurt the United States of America or kill people, and the people aboard the ship are the ones that were responsible, the person driving it, the captain. That's number two. Number three is that it was a terror attack, but the people on board, driving it, etc., didn't do it deliberately. Some outside force took out the power, for example, and used the ship to bring down this bridge in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. Those are the only three options. And sometimes, like I said, the most obvious option is the one that's actually true. And I'm just going to tell you, it seems to me that it was option one. that it was a horrific accident and it was unintentional. And here's the thing. Just think about this today. And I get it. Like the Chinese spy, but we have all these things that are not explained to us. We know that there are, like, we still don't even have a government or a Biden administration or people that will confidently tell us what happened with the COVID-19 virus. So I get, I mean, we know what happened. It was a co-creation between the United States and the Communist Chinese, and it got out of a lab. Now, we don't know if it was intentionally let out. Those are the things we don't know. So we're left to speculate. But we don't really need to speculate here, folks. I mean, this is not one of those instances. I'm sorry. Sometimes what happened and what obviously happened is exactly what happened. What is it? Occam's razor? Is that what, you know, Dan Bongino always talks about? Is that where I've heard that? Occam's razor? I've heard other people use it too, right? The most obvious is what would happen. And I would just remind you again, I do not trust the government. And there's no one more eager on this planet to attack the Biden administration than me. I wrote an entire book demolishing the Biden administration. I wrote an entire book about how they lie. America's Last Stand. Will you vote to save or destroy America in 2024? Buy the book, read it, thank me later. So, you know, look, I mean, I just want to go through the facts about what we know about this bridge. So shortly before 1:30 a.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday morning, a Singaporean flagged container ship that was 948 feet long, weighed nearly 100,000 tons. The ship was called the Dali. Well, it crashed into one of the pillars of this 47-year-old bridge in Baltimore. And it sent the bridge collapsing into the river below. Now, Grace Ocean Private is the Singapore-based company that owns the Dali. There were 21 crew members and two pilots aboard this ship. All these crew members, from my understanding, were from India, and they were headed to Sri Lanka. And I believe this ship was being operated by the Dutch or something like that, right? I mean, the Singaporean company owned it, but it was being operated by a Danish shipping company, Maersk, M-A-E-R-S-K, which is a big conglomerate, as I understand it. So it was being chartered by this Danish shipping company. And we know, based on the black box data, that at 1:24 approximately in the morning, so, you know, we're 6 minutes or 5 minutes from when it crashes. So, again, 1:24, the power goes out, and you have this sensor data that stopped recording. And then at 1:26, approximately, a couple minutes later, the sensor data resumed recording. And on the black box, audio records them giving steering commands. So, obviously, you understand there's a problem. They're concerned that this ship is veering to the right, which it is. It's out of control. And so at 1:26 and 39 seconds, not long after that, they call for these tugboats to assist. Now, you have to understand that the tugboats pull these giant ships like this out of the dock. So they help control it and guide it and steer it. So they're calling for these. I mean, it's a last-ditch effort. It's not going to work. At this point, it's already set. Fate is determined. Nothing's going to prevent this ship at this point from ramming into this bridge. And so at 1:27, the captain, I guess, whoever's on this recording, orders the ship to drop anchor. Now, again, this anchor is not going to prevent it. It's not going to stop the ship. It's just desperate efforts to avoid what is unavoidable at this point. And it's all because the power went out and it lost steering abilities. The engine, you know, it couldn't control where it was going. And so it's going 8 miles per hour and it collides into the bridge. And so at 129 and 30 seconds, the bridge is down. So that's what happened. I mean, that is what we know. You have to look at what you know and what you don't know. We don't know why the power went out. Can power go out on ships? Yes, it can. I mean, this is horrific. And, you know, the police or whoever was informed of this did the best they could, honestly. I mean, those people, law enforcement, whatnot, I mean, as timely as they could, they shut down the bridge. And unfortunately, of course, there were some workers that were working on the road that were trapped up there. Six of them, I believe. And I don't know what the latest tally was. I mean, I think two people for sure, or four people's bodies had not been recovered. They were able to get a couple people out of the river at the time. But anyway, they said there's a ship approaching that just lost their steering. So until they get that under control, we've got to stop all traffic. And so this ship, I mean, it experienced a total blackout minutes before hitting the bridge. The engine wouldn't function. I mean, and it's horrific. It's horrific. Absolutely horrific. But you have all these people that are famous on our side. I mean, I have to call them out. I have to call them out. I mean, it's not even that I'm trying to necessarily call them out. Maybe I am. I don't know. I'm not being malicious here. But this is what's leading to me having this like mini Dave Chappelle moment in my own life. So I think everyone knows who like DC Drano is, right? What's his name? Robert something Hanley. O'Hanley. Big deal. A lot of followers. Big Trump guy. Everybody knows who he is. He's quoted all the time for saying very smart things. But he's one of these people that is leading the effort to convince you, for example, that there was something afoot here. That this is some kind of terrorist attack that is being covered up. I'm trying to find the tweet. You know, I'm like just doing this behind the microphone here, looking it up. I mean, look, there have been many people that I respect that have done this. And I just honestly can't understand it because they don't have any self-restraint. They're looking for clicks. They're looking for people to look at them, to retweet them, to talk about what they're saying. They're looking to make waves. They're looking to be different. But they're not looking to get to the bottom of it. They're not necessarily looking to tell you the truth. Now, if I'm proven wrong and somehow this is some terrorist attack, great. Not great, but okay. But there's no evidence of that. So it's actually inappropriate. It's actually irresponsible to sit here and put out information that would mislead someone to believe that, especially when there are other issues happening around the country that are more important, like the illegal invasion of our border, like the illegals that are going to be used to steal the 2024 election, things like that, other things too. So Drano, whatever O'Hanley, he has this tweet out there. And this is just the one that kind of set me off in the end, just a little while ago before I got behind this microphone. So he posts this clip of some law enforcement individual who's giving a press conference, who's talking about, he's recounting what they learned from the black box, the timing of this. What I just told you about the timestamps, that came from this clip. So it's like a 5 minute, 21 second clip. And Drano posts it. And then he says, and there it is. The Dali ship's black box has 2 minutes of missing data right before it crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. How convenient. So Drano, O'Hanley, is suggesting to you that this data was somehow maliciously scrubbed. So we don't know information, as if there's some cover-up But that's not what happened at all. The 2 minutes of missing data, if you listen to this whole clip, you lose data and then you get it back. So 1:24, the power goes out, which causes the sensor data to stop being recorded. Well, some kind of power source restores power briefly, and at 1:26, a couple minutes later, the sensor data resumed recording. And it doesn't crash into the thing until shortly before 1:30, so a minute 29 and something like that. So here's O'Hanley saying the Dali ship's black box has 2 minutes of missing data right before it crashed into the Francis Scott Key Bridge. As if it was hit. No, that's not what happened. It's totally in support of what took place here. You lose power, you lost sensory data, and then the sensor data came back on, and you had it before you hit the bridge. So you understand what I'm saying here with these people? Like, why are these people doing this? I'm just frustrated. And so my Dave Chappelle thing is just looking at how screwed up we are as a country. I mean, if the Titanic were to crash today and it had hit an iceberg, you would have people like this suggesting that it was a setup. You know, that the Taliban was driving the boat. You know, that it was, Epstein's clients were on board and they needed to try and kill them. And so it was a sabotage job. You know what I'm saying? Like, now look, when it comes to things that don't make sense, like, for example, Epstein's mysterious death by hanging. BS. Absolutely, he was murdered. The fact that cameras went off and weren't recording magically, mysteriously at that time. I mean, obviously, there's a cover-up going on. So I'm not stupid. I'm not saying that every time there's no reason to be suspicious. But I'm also saying that every time isn't that. It's not applicable every single time. And so here we are, focused on all this crap, when what we should be focused on is the fact that our infrastructure sucks in this country. We should be focused on the fact that Joe Biden went and gave a speech and he had to make it about himself and he's a sociopathic liar and he suggested that he used to ride the train across that bridge. I mean, I can believe it because it's Joe Biden. But he's out there, you know, telling people how, I've been here many times. Always about him. So we've got a sociopath in the White House that stole the 2020 election. We've got a mayor in Baltimore that is as racist as all get out. I think the white population in Baltimore, by the way, is less than 30%. It's majority black population. That's fine. But you've got this guy up there, this Baltimore mayor, who is absolute garbage, a garbage human being. So we have terrible leadership of our cities. We have a rotting country. And by the way, you know, this moment, for example, with the Baltimore Bridge, I don't know if you're experiencing this, but I'm experiencing this. I'm becoming the opposite of numb. I'm becoming hypersensitive to things happening in this country now. So for a long time, I would speculate, I have speculated, that, for example, people are just numb. They don't feel anything anymore. They don't respond to anything anymore on an actual emotional level because we're just sensory overload with tragedy and so on and so forth, destruction by this Biden administration. Well, when that Baltimore Bridge collapse happened, my heart sank. I thought of the people that had lost their lives, I thought of people that were probably drowned or, you know, I before I even knew anything, I just thought about, okay, how many cars were on the bridge? I mean, I just had this horrific feeling that Americans were suffering. And, you know, this is a national tragedy in many ways. Now, I understand it's not 9/11. We didn't lose, you know, thousands of people on this bridge, but we lost people. And this is kind of an iconic moment for Americans. I mean, if you want to speculate anything about this bridge, it's the fact that whether it's his fault or not, and this is not necessarily Biden's fault. It's not his fault, but it is indicative of his administration. A collapsing bridge tragedy, and more importantly, no unity. We're sitting here squabbling about how which conspiracy theory we're going to lead with. I just feel like if we don't get some control over ourselves, exercise some self-restraint, and start focusing, not getting distracted by all the media stories, not getting distracted by all the attention whores that are trying to get your attention. And by the way, none of these people that are pushing this bullcrap about what happened that they don't even know about with this bridge tragedy with a boat, they'll never talk about this again. They're just going to be on to the next conspiracy to try and get your attention. And we cannot fix this country if we continue to behave in such a manner. And so I, for one, am just really disgusted with what I see happening. And as a publicist, maybe in some way I do contribute. I mean, I am part of that to some extent. I have people that comment on things that happen out there. And I guess I'm just sickened by what I am even unintentionally part of. No, I'm not pushing people out there to talk about the conspiracy necessarily and so on and so forth. That's not what I'm saying. But I am part of that media world, whether I want to admit it or not. I am, as a publicist. And these are people I know. These are people that I used to respect. And, you know, the reason Washington was great, self-restraint. The reason Rush was great, self-restraint. And a dedication to truth, a dedication to the bigger picture, saving the country, pushing forward conservatism. And to put out these kind of conspiracy theories to rile people up and distract them and take attention away from things that actually matter in this country that are based on truth, we're harming ourselves. We're harming ourselves. And so, look, I mean, this I don't know how to tell you. I don't know what to tell you in terms of fixing this, except that, you know, for me, I'll be honest with you, what I have to do and what kind of pulled me out of my funk the last couple weeks that I was experiencing is God. I mean, yeah, it's Easter season. A lot of people are paying attention to church at this point. People are actually going to church because it's Easter. But I just am reading my Bible because that needs to be our compass. Otherwise, we're going to be lost. We're going to be lost as a nation, as individuals. You've got to have a compass. And my point is, that again, that Rush kind of served as that compass for a while because he was so brilliant and so unique and so good and made very few mistakes, that he had the effect of actually keeping this movement and keeping us in check. And now he's gone, and it's the Wild West, and you've got all these conservatives out there that don't really care. They are grifters, if you will. So that's my two cents on the subject, you know. I just went off. I mean, I didn't write a lot down. I just, that's my observation. That's my observation, and I think it's troubling me. And we have to be the ones to be critical thinkers, to take control of our own thoughts and not allow ourselves to be misled. Because again, none of these people are God. None of these people are God. They're not smarter than you. They don't have a secret ability that you don't have. But what they do have is a desire to persuade. So anyway, just be careful out there. Be careful out there. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you decide to take your advice from or news from, because honestly, I was bored this week too, because I'm sitting here looking and everyone's saying the same darn thing. Everyone's saying the same thing. Everyone's saying the same thing all the time, reporting the news in a rush to get the information out first so that you listen to them and they can get clicks and they can put it on Twitter. I'm sick of that crap, so I'm not going to do that. This might be a change in this show. I don't know. This may change how I do my show going forward in terms of what I talk about and what my opinions are and how I structure things, because I don't want to be one of those people. I'm not competing with those people. I'm not going to do it. I have other things to say, other things to keep our attention on. And so I'm just going to tune it all out and just do the Drew Allen Show and be honest and do the best I can to be accurate and to talk about things that I think are important, not what other people tell me are important. All right? God bless you all. This is Drew Round, your Millennial Minister of Truth. Until next time.